All right. 5 o'clock on a Monday. You know what time it is. It's time to hit the books. Part of the Hammer Betting Network alongside the man, the myth, the legend himself, Joey Knish. Producer extraordinaire Zach Phillips out. Jason's filling in for him. And I am merely Brad Powers. Before we hit the books and talk college football, we talk the NFL Combine, and we break down maybe some other things that are going on in the world of college football, and of course, get to your comments. Let me remind everybody that Hit the Books brought to you by BetStamp. The easiest way to improve as a sports bettor is to use multiple sports books and always getting the best odds. We recommend using an odds comparison tool like BetStamp. BetStamp compares odds across every sportsbook for games, futures, and player props. You can save time and money by checking BetStamp before you bet. Download the app today. If you're looking to sign up for a new sportsbook account, please check out the offers available at betstamp.app/hitthebooks. Or you can hit that link in the description. If you sign up through this page, it does help support the show. Knish, haven't talked to you in a couple weeks, buddy. Let me see. You had a bunch of combine bets. You're probably starting to get into some college basketball. What's the word, man? How you doing?
Yeah, you know what? Been moving some college basketball. The combine, unfortunately, was only able to do Michigan doesn't have, there's very limited states that actually allow you to bet on the combine. So wasn't able to get too much, had some prize pick stuff going. But like, you know, like taking it in just as a fan and to do some draft homework and just to see, you know, the results in that. So, I love, my favorite is like Joe, you know, everybody sees Joe Milton in shorts throwing 80 yard bombs and it's like, whoa, could this guy be a sleeper? Unfortunately, on this show, we've actually seen Joe Milton play for 5 years. So, no, I'm not buying the Joe Milton hype there. So, but yeah, a little college basketball conference turning. Finally, also, hey, 65 in Michigan today. Joey Sunshine was out there, baby, feeling good. So, yeah, hey, little coaster. How about yourself?
Weather hasn't been great here. We had a windstorm. So I haven't been outside the last 2 days. Hopefully you get out here after the show. Combine, yeah, I didn't make hardly any bets. You know, watched a little bit of it. Not surprised. You know, obviously, oh, wow, Joe Milton can throw a football 80 yards. Big, I mean, shocker there. Let's see if he can throw an 8-yard pass. I mean, with accuracy. I got some news for you. He probably can't. So, you know, a little bit of the combine. Guys that impressed me, the kid from Florida State, the defensive lineman, that Fisk kid, had a good combine. Yep. I continue, and I said this, and the word out of the combine is J.J. McCarthy going to be going early, maybe even the number two quarterback. As high as that taken? I'm hearing whispers on that. I think he will be a top 10 pick when it's all said and done. So anxious to see the fallout from the combine in that regard. Other than that, I mean, obviously Worthy is good for, you know, tweet impressions, the breaking the combine record as far as the 40. Joe Alt had a big time. I thought he locked himself in a top 10 pick as far as the offensive lineman goes, but agreed. Nothing really earth shattering for me coming out of the draft or the combine as we prepare for the draft. College football, I mean, it's kind of the calm before the storm. It's kind of starting a little bit today. Alabama starts spring practice today. Miami started spring practice. I see in the chat people are asking about Florida and Miami. We'll get to that here in a second. But any thoughts on happenings in college football? It's kind of been a slow last couple of weeks here, but thankfully spring practice is really heating up here.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, combine, I would take away a couple of – one, I think – for a guy that didn't do much, and I tweeted below, I think – Harrison to the Cardinals is about as low. I actually bet some of that NFL draft wise. Okay. I think it was like -150, -190. I think it's going to go 1, 2, 3 QBs, and then it's a done deal at 4. Like, and they would take somebody. I don't think someone's going to trade up to that with the cost there, you know, above them. And I don't think they're going to, they're just, you know, people say, oh, the Cardinals, they're not going to trade the pick. They're not going to give up a chance to take Marvin Harrison. So if he's there at 4, which I think he will be, I think it's just, it's kind of a match made. They're obviously, they went all in on Kyler Murray, need a number one option. It's just kind of a no doubter there. Agree. I think the McCarthy thing is fascinating, but a lot of sauce there. And I still say, but for another Michigan guy, Blake Corum actually had a ran a lot faster than I thought he would. In terms of the 40, I thought there were some rumors he wasn't going to do it, which I thought, you know, he was going to do, you know, one of those pro day 40s where, like, you know, and times it and stopped at 5 yards early to make it look like you ran there. So that was one I thought he looked good. So this was all the argument I had between a few people was Michael Penix, and he never ran it, so we'll never know. Maybe he'll run at the pro day. But there was some folks who I know who thought that, and even it was getting tweeted a little bit, that Penix was going to run in the 4.5s.
Oh, my God. I bet over 4.7.
There's so many. Oh, thank you. We would. I was asking people to cross.
I bet over 4.8 even, maybe.
His Prize Picks was 4.64, and I played him on. Now again, it was all not graded because he didn't run, but we played over 4.64 on all of them, and it was like I had a few people telling me either he's going to run 4.55, he's going to run under 4.6.
No,
the guy didn't run 4.6 in high school, and he's had like two ACLs and put on 30 pounds since then. So that was one. We'll see what he runs at the pro day, but that was I'm glad to get your confirmation because friend of the show. Franchise Kyle and I were betting all the overs, and I had some other people out there. You had Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report tweet. You'll be surprised to see what he runs. People tell him he's going to run the 4.5s.
No way.
How many? Here's a great trivia. How many rushing yards total did he have on the season? Now this is sack adjusted. Total rushing yards in the 2023 season for Michael 50. Penix. Eight total. That includes the bowl games where he had 31 yards in one of those games. Eight on the season.
And he only got sacked maybe 12 times or 14. Right. He was only sacked quarterbacks tells you, in the country.
Dane was in the – because Dane, one of our friends, we were in the – you know, going back and forth there. So, I would be shocked if the – well, we'll see what he does at the pro day. But that was sad because it was a great – it was going to be great for some chirping. But we'll see Yeah, we'll see what happens here going forward. College football, we saw some initial power conference futures that FanDuel put out. I tell you, and it's kind of the same as last year. I wasn't really running to the window. It just one of those that I didn't see anything that was getting me to, you know, off like mistake number. I got to go run. Maybe, you know, a little value here and there, but maybe on some, but nothing that I was looking to get down. Like I got to go down there now and get in this early. So, I am looking Charles in the chat. That's one that we're hoping to see make the play like that on a wider scale. It's only actually his first one there, or the make the playoff. That is the one that I would love to get some places to post.
The theoretical hold on those that bet online are horrific.
Insane.
They have 10 teams, even money or minus money. 10.
Yeah. Don't. And again, I love the guys over there. They've been very good to me. It's a book I always, you know, compliment stuff. That don't bet in it. Wait for that. And that's the one that I think there'll actually be some value on when it gets widely posted. But yeah, don't bet into the one place that's posted it yet. And I've actually heard, I actually talked to the people at Circa, and they're unfortunately, I think, not posting until like May time frame. So I'm sure
that's a reasonable time frame.
That's fair. That's fair.
We're getting ridiculous now. And I'm a guy that's college football and I don't mind betting early, and I've already made like 50 bets. But I would prefer to be betting in May after the second portal window, after I watch some spring games, because there's still a lot of uncertainty. What I am certain about is those prices at BetOnline, and I love BetOnline. You're right. They're my favorite offshore book, but they are horrific. 10 teams can't be even money or minus money to make the playoff. The theoretical hold's got to be like 40 or 50% in that market. Yeah. No. I'd like to bet that. I'll tell you what I would love to bet is the no on a lot of those prices. If you talk about putting my bankroll up, I'd have a lot of that tied up on the nose on some of those prices.
I strongly agree with your assertion there. There would be a couple of no prices here that would love to take apart if they existed.
Let me get quick thoughts on, obviously a lot of playoff talk. We haven't even gotten to the 12-team playoff. Now we're talking 14. They're talking auto bids. I don't mind the three Big Ten, three SEC, because I mean, most years they probably should have four, to be honest with you. That's how good. I mean, the conferences are extremely deep. But what's your thoughts on that? And you know, the Big Ten and SEC champ getting the two byes. It just college football cannot get. I mean, it's, once you have something, I don't even like the 12 team. This is me personally, but let's try it out and see how it works. But they just cannot. The greed is unbelievable.
It's insane. You know what? This is going to sound like, you know, two old guys yelling at their lawn type of thing. Yeah. But I mean, you knew any time you're going to do expansion, whether it's been the regular seasons in the major sports, the playoffs in the NFL, anytime there was never contraction ever. It'll never happen. Once the money gets to a certain level where you're at a 12 team play, it only going to go up. You've seen this now in the stupid college basketball, you know, March Madness tournament where they got the play-in games that are guard. This is the problem. Once you expand, is it just becomes this not never ending, like, no, let's go to 14. Let's go to 18. Let's go to 24 with a bunch of, like, I we haven't even, as you said, there hasn't even been a 12 yet. And they're already like, wait, baby, let's get another few games in there. Stupid, just stupid. Like, it's going to, the 12 feels like just the peak, the max you could do to still keep the regular season in a lot, you know, where you start going beyond that. And it's like, are you going to let, like, you know, 8-4 Alabama in or something like this? You know, so I don't know. I'm interested to see how the 12 team, you know, goes and what kind of season that. But yeah, I think it's just, as you've said, the greed. Once it's like, oh, we're going to get paid this amount for these 12 games, let's sneak in another couple here.
And yeah, then, nobody's going to notice.
No, we'll go 14 to 18 to say 20. And so I don't know, where does it, as you, Charles is on a heater today in terms of, like, you might end up getting this FCS style tournament at some point of, you know, that many teams. It's not out of the question. I mean, it's probably trending in that direction.
Yeah, FCS football is about to become what we, you know, grew up with as far as what we recognize college football to be, even though they got a long playoff. But I don't know. What we're going to see is eventually about 40 or 50 teams just break away from the rest of the sport and basically become NFL junior. That's what's going to happen. So we'll see. That's going to happen a lot more sooner than later, it looks like, at this point, the way things are moving. I will say, I just can't believe college football has something that college basketball, the NBA, Major League Baseball would die to have. And that's meaningful games in the regular season. People fucking care about a college football in the regular season. And they're just going to, the more playoff teams and games you add, the less meaning the regular season has. It's just true. I mean, do you really, if Ohio, the winner or the loser of the Ohio State Michigan game is in every year, does that game still have meaning, especially if there's a rematch the week after in the Big Ten championship game? And what the hell is going on? I mean, that's just, I don't know, man. I'm not looking forward to it. I'll just put it that way. All right, let's get to the chat. They waited long enough. Eat that. First up, thoughts on the Florida Gators under 5.5 wins. I have the sheet of integrity here. It's not a notebook yet, but it's the sheet of integrity. As you can see here, all my bets that I made so far, Florida under 5.5 is one of those bets. So it's one of the toughest. It's not only the toughest schedule in the country this year, but I went through it. It's one of the toughest schedules in the history of college football. And I'm not exaggerating. They're going to face eight teams probably in the top 20-ish. They got a coach that's kind of on the hot seat, to say the least. Could be a lame duck situation to close out the season. I mean, I like the recruiting class coming in. I like that Lagway kid at quarterback. I thought he was probably maybe the best of the bunch coming in as far as this year. But he's going to be a freshman. You going to play him immediately? No. I mean, I guess it'll be Mertz who's coming back. They got a lot of guys coming back. The Miami game's huge for both those teams, to say the least. Florida gets them at home. I haven't bet that game yet. It's available in a couple shops, but I did bet under 5.5 wins. I don't see them getting the bowl eligible. And if that's the case, Napier gets fired.
Yeah, I mean, they almost have to, like, if they're going to get there, they have to start off basically 5-1. I mean, they've got to win that Miami game. They've got to win that, you know, Texas A&M game at home. They got to beat Mississippi State on the road. They got UCF at home. Because as you've said, the back half of this schedule is insane. I mean, at Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. This is going to be one of those where, like, Napier's entire tenure probably rests on the back half, you know, this last six games where it almost, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to go. I mean, 3-3 would be like, oh my God, coach of the year type of stuff. And they're like, you know, but so yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I don't know. I just not sure what, and it's like, he's been dealt a rough hand. They've got some NIL stuff together. It's not like, I mean, they obviously had that big issue with the quarterback before Lagway, where it kind of all Jay Rashada, where it fell apart. But it's not like they don't have, you know, money flying around. It's just, I don't know. It's going to be a tough game. I don't know if he can survive this. This just kind of seems like a dead man walk death march here, where if he doesn't get, what's he got to get to keep his job? 7-5?
Yeah, and I don't see it. I mean, I kind of played around with my power ratings. I'd have to make like Florida a top 15 team to get to 7-5.
I don't think 2023 Florida was that bad, but like Graham Mertz had a pretty decent year, like overall through and through. I don't know if like the you know, the actual team and what the handy was dealt, like Napier did that terrible of a job. It's just the expectation is at, you know, a 10-11 win and they're just not at that place as a program right now. I don't know. I don't care who the coach is. So yeah, it's going to be tough to keep it together, but I agree with you. Gun to my head, I would go under.
There we go. First win total there. Brent in the chat. Russell Wilson has any eligibility left for Michigan? I see that's breaking the Denver. In case you're living under a rock here, last hour. So the Russell Wilson and the Broncos look like they're going their separate ways. They're not a shock. DT plus the points, probably looking for a better line on BG. This is reference to Kanish being late. Charles in the chat. Yep, Gators. We talked about that. Florida State regression. He mentions that. Yeah, I do expect a little bit of regression, but their win total's up at 9.5. That's not one I bet yet. I mean, every game on their schedule is still winnable. They bring in DJU. I'm not a fan of, but I think he'll have a pretty solid season. They always do well in the portal. I keep an eye on this Jaden Lucas kid, who I love from Indiana. I think Florida State will be fine. Obviously, they'll be an underdog at Notre Dame, but that'll probably be their biggest underdog role. Other than that, I mean, this is an ACC contender. They'll take a little bit of a step back compared to last year's team, but I don't think that big of a step back. Have you done anything with the Noles yet?
No, but I'll be honest with you. I would actually lean over here, and I agree with you. I think in terms of like team quality, they'll probably take a step back. But this is an ACC that is awful. I don't see anybody like. I mean, you've got, I would say the Georgia Tech game, maybe, you know, is in terms of one of their more competitive, the Ireland game. I mean, you've got Boston College, you've got Cal. I'm off Clemson. I'm off the Dabo train for good. So I don't think you're getting this resurgent Clemson team that can rival them for an ACC contender. They haven't brought in anybody in the portal. I think it's just down. You've got Duke, which is going to fall off a cliff. I could see the team not being, you know, last year was kind of the year for them to maybe, you know, if you were, I mean, they went undefeated. So if you're going to, you know, win a national championship or something, yeah, they're not going to be that level, but can they win 10 games in this ACC? Sure. And I think they're the deserved favorite and could see them. So yeah, I think, you know, they're not going to win the national title, but can they win 10 games and win the ACC? Absolutely.
Yeah. So again, I'd like to, let's see them in spring. Let's see what maybe they can add a few more pieces in the next portal. So I'm not necessarily completely down on them. They got as good a chance as anybody in that wide open ACC. Charles in the chat. Yep, we talked about the Bet Online stuff. Bowers, we talked. We'll see him when that market opens up a little bit. Muse in the chat. Do the NFL know that much more about other teams' draft plans, or do they get info from the media too? What's your thought on that? I did make the tweet. It amazes me how people who cover the draft, that's their freaking job don't watch college football because they're surprised by all these combine results. And then I see these people breaking down tape. I'm like, I can't believe you're not. I'm not asking you to know the ins and outs on a left tackle out of SMU, but I can't believe you don't know anything about Joe Milton, the starting quarterback for Tennessee. I just don't get that whatsoever as far as the media actually not knowing anything about the kids coming out of college.
Yeah, I've heard Schefter talk about this before, where like teams will, you kind of the information trading thing where teams are kind of calling for some, have you heard anything on this and stuff? So I think there's some of like that stuff that goes on. But I agree with you in terms of like, it's kind of shot like the NFL. Yeah, there's, and I think some of it is just like churn and content. Like everybody, you want a headliner, a guy throw 80 yards. I mean, it was a cool looking video. I'll give it. He throws it 80 yards. He points the guy. Yeah, that's so. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a nice clip there. But yeah, I don't think anybody that has watched him play for years or the Senior Bowl where he was like horrific in that game. And up the week leading up to practice, that's all you heard is how bad he was. So. Yeah, I tend to be a little bit skeptical. Carlos there, Maserati Mafta. No, the Pats, I don't see any scenario where they cannot. They know they've got a quarterback, but you have to take a quarterback. You're just not going to be. I mean, you don't have one on the roster. Mac Jones is terrible. Bailey Zappi is terrible. So, no, I don't see. The only scenario would be somebody leaping up there to try and scoop the Cardinals on him, but that's an insane price to pay for a wide receiver.
Say the least. Hugh in the chat, thoughts on Miami, who started spring practice today to win the Natty at 71.
You're giving me PTSD from last season.
Yeah, Mario Cristobal still the coach.
You got to look at it, and we've talked about this in a couple of the offseason shows, is like, a team like Missouri I brought up as like a hot team that would like, would I like them to, if everything goes right to make the playoff? Miami, yep. A team, if everything goes right to make a playoff, but then are you going to win three games versus, the Ohio State, like, are you going to beat Georgia and Ohio State and one other, back-to-back-to-back? Mario Cristobal? No, he's not. So, no, I would... I mean, if you want to do an ACC future or something, that'd be more, but a Natty future, no. I've learned my lesson there.
What'd you think of my Natty future?
I saw the old the cards.
He's not going to win, but, I mean, I'll ask you this. Let's just he was talking about Miami 70-1. Who's better, Louisville or Miami? Or are they about the same?
It's not, if any, it's a small margin. If any, I'll give you the margin is not 70-1 to 500-1.
Yeah, I just was playing a number. I mean, they're getting traded at every book like 100-1, 150-1. Saw 500, made a bet. They can win the ACC. And keep in mind, the top four, if they win the ACC, they get they get a bye. It's the 12 team. We're not at the 14 team playoff yet, so they would get a bye and maybe favored in their first game at 500-1. It's not 50-1. 500-1, you can earn money. I don't need them to win. I only need them to win one game, and I can start earning off of that. So that was just something fun.
And I think we're trending towards an era in college football, and you saw it a little bit last year where the transfer portal has allowed it used to be this where like you'd go into a year and like. Four, maybe three or four teams can win the national, where any bet 100-1 or higher was literally wasting money. And I think you're seeing some of that trickle down of like, other teams being able to access the portal or kids on those super teams, like not wanting to stick around for, 4 years and wait their turn, where I think you're kind of getting that, like the teams that can actually win a national title is going from three or four to maybe like 12, maybe 50,
I think it's 12 still. How much? I got to see
12 probably.
How many rosters can win three or four games? That's my concern.
That's fair. I think it's heading that direction where it's opening it up a little bit more.
Yeah. Especially you're going to give me 500-1.
You're right.
Would I made that bet if it was 100, 200-1? No, I just was playing a number that was really off. That's all it was. And I was having fun. I'm using the chat. Does Kanish have any actionable draft bets to give out to the people?
There's not. Honestly, it's still, again, we're pretty thin. One that I just call it sprayed the board is FanDuel has Brock Bowers to the Chargers at 2-1, that is like absolutely absurd, insane. So I don't know where he's going to go, but if you want to like spray a couple of prices on other teams that in that range where he should go, I don't blame you at all, because I don't see a scenario where the Chargers, one, are taking Bowers, or two, he should ever be 2-1 to like go to. I don't think it's like this hard. It's like a Harbaugh needs a tight end type of thing. Like, I don't think they need like a complete roster overhaul. And I think they'd probably be a beautiful candidate to trade down. And so, that's another one. I'd love to just bet the no on that, but instead of betting the no, sprinkle a few teams that you think he could go, especially because, to be honest with you, he didn't have the greatest combine. Not that he was awful, but he didn't, you know, come off as like a, you know, insanely elite guy that you might want to use a top five pick on. So pick a few teams and spray some prices would be my only. I've done, and again, nothing crazy, but of what's available, which isn't much right now, I think you can do that a little bit.
And keep in mind, guys, we'll probably have 3-4 more shows before the draft. Let the markets open up a little bit. I always found, you got some, you know, major inside scoop, I always thought like about a week before, the weekend before the draft, I always thought was a sweet spot to bet. What do you think on that?
Yeah, because right now you're like
5 to 7 days before. I mean, you got enough, not that it's ever super liquid, but there's enough liquidity and you can still get out in front of stuff. But, right now, there isn't much available. I mean, have you seen?
No, there's not much available. And as you like, you're kind of.
Is there going to be much available? I mean, they get beat up every year.
That's another question. Yeah, I remember the glory days of COVID when the NFL draft was the only thing happening. Like every book was posting. I call it the glory days of the glory days of betting during COVID. that stuff was out there. But I agree. I think it depends. I know like Circa didn't post anything last year, or wasn't till like the very, very last moments, you know. We'll see here. It's tougher now than it used to be, no doubt. So we'll see what opens up, but hopefully there can be a little bit more than last year.
Charles in the chat, thoughts on UCF under 8.5? That was on the sheet of integrity. Pretty big position there on UCF. That was one where I had a couple people run. Here's the great thing about the chat. I bet UCF under 8.5. The very next comment, Ryan, I like UCF to win the Big 12 as a long shot. You know what? Honestly, I don't necessarily disagree with that. You give me the right price on the Big 12. I think it's as wide open as any conference. So the problem is with the FanDuel numbers on the Big 12, it wasn't very enticing to me. I was looking to bet somebody 30-40-1, like a UCF, even though, you know, I thought 8.5 was ridiculously high as far as their win total. I'm not a big Gus Malzahn fan. KJ Jefferson will be fine there, but I don't know. It's just super competitive. It's a tough conference because there's not much separation between teams like 1 through 10 or 12. So I could see a ton of teams winning it, or I could just see a bunch of mediocrity, 8-4, 7-5, 6-6. And just a jumbled mess there. What have you done anything in the Big 12? I bet quite a few win totals in the Big 12.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of the one where I agree with you, was looking to maybe take some conference future positions, but I agree, the numbers didn't really like UCF. There's 11-1.
I think that doesn't, at least 20-1.
Yeah, I agree. That doesn't call my name and all that. You know what? There might be, 8 teams, 9 teams that could win this, but I agree. I liked your under 8.5 position.
It's no longer available. I will say that. Yeah. Where's Charles? Charles, I think it's 7.5. We bet enough to move that. So me and the guys. I thought that was off. Go look. Where's their 9 wins? Do you see 9 wins?
I mean, yeah, you've got to, like, as you, we talked about that at Florida game, at Iowa State,
at TCU, at West, dog, Virginia, at Florida,
I mean, you've got
to Iowa State, dog, Arizona, probably pick them at best, at West Virginia, dog, Utah at home, dog. I mean, got to win 9, folks. I got them at 7-5, so we'll see what happens. Long ways to go. We already attacked the Carlos question. Better NFL prospect leaving college, Milton or Anthony Richardson? Anthony Richardson by far, right? I don't like either, but Anthony Richardson.
In the same, I mean, Anthony Richardson went, fourth? Joe Milton probably not going to go until like maybe the fourth round.
No, he'll go. And you want to bet that? I'll bet that. I'll take under, meaning he'll go the third round or better. You want to go mid third round? I'll give you half a round. I'll go under mid third round.
All right, let's go. Head to head. Jason, put it on the sheet, baby.
Put it on the sheet. So whatever pick that is, we'll go pick. What was that? 70. We'll go 75. How's that?
I'm in.
All right, 75.
I'm in.
I got under. You got over.
Also, good call, Charles, there. There is a UCF under 8.5 juiced at one of the places we talked about earlier.
I keep forgetting they got win totals up. I would bet that, guys. I forgot to bet that there. I keep forgetting. The limits aren't very high there. I was able to get down a real decent amount at kiosk at FanDuel. So that other site, if you know, that is a very strong position. I gave out like 20 of them. I can tell you that UCF under 8.5 was number one. So, but as far as the positions that I wanted to get down on the early win totals, I like that one quite a bit. Charles, very active in the we'll do Carlos first. Thoughts on LSU's offseason? Yeah, I mean, obviously Brian Kelly, really mixed up the coaching staff, particularly needed to on the defense side of the ball. Defense held him back, to say the least, last year. Like a lot of the hires there. Pulling Bo Davis from Texas as a defense line coach was a big pickup. The Missouri defensive coordinator did a solid job. I found it funny. I mean, he fired the guy 2 years ago because he was part of Orgeron's staff, and he brings him back as the DC just a couple years later. So it's funny how that works. But I'm bullish on LSU a little bit. Not that I bet their win total over 9.5. I think that's relatively priced accordingly there. But I like Nussmeier. Is he going to be Jaden Daniels? No, but I'm not sure that he needs to be. If the defense picks it up a little bit, I think LSU's right there in the mix. They're not Georgia, but they're right there they get Alabama at home. They get Ole Miss at home. I think those are two key games. And we'll at least get a good idea right off the bat. They play USC right here in Vegas week one. I bet LSU in that game. I think anything under a touchdown, I like the Tigers there.
Yeah, no, I think, in terms of programs that you've heard of, like investing and spending money, LSU is up there of ones I've heard. I mean, they brought in, I think, the number one quarterback and running back in the 25 class have committed to them, Bryce Underwood, and I forget the running back's name, but they're
Underwood,
both.
He's not too far from your neck of the woods. That's stunning that they got that kid. Well, yeah, can they keep him? That recruiting is just starting for that kid.
That's true. It's going to be he was at almost every game last year, I think, between the Jaden Daniels season. And as I said, some of the coin that's getting thrown around there. You don't get the number one quarterback and running back anymore these days without shelling out some. So they've invested. So I like the direction of the program. I agree. I don't think this is the year for them to do something special, quote unquote, but I wouldn't bet again.
It's always disappointing if they didn't make the 12-team playoff. I wouldn't make them a monster favorite to make the playoff, but if I'm an LSU fan, they don't make the playoff, I'd be like, I'd be a little disappointed. So I think in my power, they're a top 10 team in my power ratings. So
no, I'm with you there.
They're a program that'll certainly benefit from one Nick Saban no longer being at Alabama. That helps the LSUs of the world. Charles, who are some of the big-time impact players out there that we like that most people don't know? I'm not there yet. Let me watch some spring games for some hidden gems. I'll give you one. Austin Mack. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
Okay. That's let me put it this way. He's on the sheet of integrity. So if you know, you know. I'm giving hints. I'm not going to come out here and say, best bet, let's blow up a market. But if you know enough to what my hints and winks are, and you know enough to maybe take that as actionable advice, he's on the sheet of integrity. That's how much I just got a sneaky suspicion on Austin Mack. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, I like that.
That's way under the radar. That's a name to know, though. I think more people are going to know that name in about 6 weeks.
I think he's already been talked about a lot in this offseason, but word on the street is that Jack Tuttle, who I you know, Joey K's guy, Jack Tuttle, is going to miss spring with surgery, and it's all systems go for Alex Orji as far as who's, like, going to lead the quarterback competition for Michigan.
You bet him to win the Heisman? 100-1.
I don't know if he'll be – I mean, if you like rushing statistics, he might put up a bunch of those. I don't know if he can win the Heisman in this day and age throwing the ball 10 or 15 times a game, but he's going to be, I think, given every opportunity to win the job and be the guy this year, because they're already he knows the playbook better than JJ did and all that stuff. And with no Tuttle in the spring, I think he'll definitely be QB1 going into the fall. So there, if you haven't, Michigan quarterback Alex Orji, if you haven't heard, and if you find an absurd price on a Heisman on him, maybe sprinkle a few, but I don't think they run the type of offense that can win a Heisman trophy for a quarterback, but
he just got put. He was not on the original board. He's been just now put on the board at a few books now. 100-1, it looks like.
So yeah, it's almost like I'd almost want something kind of crazier than that to really. Because do I think Michigan can be in the, you know, the 9, 10, 11 win discussion? Sure, they got a ton coming back on, but is it going to be because Orji has this, you know, Lamar Jackson statistical year? Probably not so much.
Yeah, I wish I had more names, but again, I like watching spring. That's usually when I come up with some stuff. We're early. I mean, maybe it doesn't feel like it's early because everything's out. There's a lot of stuff out already, but this stuff's out 2 months before any season ever. I mean, we've never had win totals out in March, and hell, they've been out for a few weeks. Just gotta wait till May. May, then I'll be an open book. Looking at the chat, Hugh, Mac Brown, Jimbo Fisher, Les Miles, Orgeron can win a natty. It's possible for Cristobal. I wouldn't put him in any of those cats. Well, I guess Orgeron maybe, but
but Orgeron,
Jimbo and Les are better, and Mac are all better coaches, right?
Yeah, I agree with you. And Orgeron had a team. If you look at that team, was in, like, yes, if Cristobal ends up with the number one quarterback in the draft, maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, a dozen, 15 other NFL guys on the roster in 1 year, could you then have it? Sure. But I mean, you need one of those years like Jimbo at Florida State where they had 22 NFL players or something, where if you're that kind of coach that's not giving your team a competitive advantage, you have to have such a stacked roster that it's, you know, a kind of a once a 20 year, once in 15 year type of thing. So
he is stacking the roster. I'll give him that.
I mean, they're trying. They're shelling out the money for it. I don't know though.
I agree. I mean, guy's no good. And we got enough of a data sample size. Couldn't underwhelmed even a few games a year, even with Herbert at quarterback. Is he gonna get a better quarterback than Herbert at quarterback? No, I just haven't seen it. He's had a lot more talent the first 2 years at Miami to win as many games or lack thereof than what he's had. So, I mean, the guy should not have a losing record in his first 2 years at Miami. Did not inherit that bad of a situation. Ryan in the chat, yeah, this is a sneaky team. Again, I'd like to see a little bit more, read up more on them in the spring. But NC State, I think they got a shot in the ACC. Grayson McCall, they bring him in a transfer quarterback, but let's see if he can stay healthy. I mean, he hasn't been able to stay healthy a full season at Coastal, but that's a sneaky team there. I like their defensive coordinator quite a bit. I'm not a huge fan of their head coach, but he does win. Dave Duren has consistently won here the last few years. That's a team, what their win total is at 8.5, I thought was fair. I did not bet the under. It might seem high to a lot of people, but I did not bet the under there.
Yeah, again, I like the team, like the program. I thought against some of the elites last year, you could kind of see that they're just missing, especially at the skill positions. They didn't have any juice. Like they couldn't move the ball on. Now again, McCall maybe gives you a little bit better. I know they were trying Brennan Armstrong and Monty Moore going back and forth last year. I don't think the quarterback was as much of the problem last year as like they didn't have the sauce on offense. Is that going to change this year? I don't know. So I agree with you. Think 8.5 is fair. Think that's just kind of what NC State as like a program kind of peaks out at is that, you know, 7, 8, 9 wins of, and again, Dorn's done a good job of keeping them there, but hard to win more than that, especially against the teams that are, you know, the Florida States, the Miamis, the Clemsons, the Florida State and the Miamis that are spending the money and the Clemsons that are, you know, still living off of, you know, a dream run there and, you know, somehow not letting the completely burn down yet.
Similarly, Ryan in chat, Louisville over 8.5 wins. Fair. Yeah, I think it's fair. I might lean over, but yeah, just because I bet them 500-1 doesn't mean that, oh my God, I think they're going to run away with the ACC. I was just betting a stupid price. That's all that was there. So I have not bet over 8.5. I think that's a fair number there. RW fans got a good question here. How often have either of you had a rough season in college football? How do you distinguish between bad variance and bad process? Have either of you changed your weekly betting due to the portal? Good question. You and I did not have a great, you know, giving out picks. And I got to tell people, it's different giving out, 100 game sample size given out to the masses, widely available numbers. Much tougher to win doing that than my betting portfolio, where I can bet some like that 500-1. Not that it's going to win, but that's just an example. Hey, everyone, anything's trading 100-1. I get 500-1. No different than, betting around a key number. Hey, the whole world's 7. I can lay 6.5 with this favorite, but I can't grade that, you know, when I'm giving that out to the masses. So was not a good season as far as giving out picks, but betting was okay. So I haven't made too big of adjustments yet, even with the portal. What have you done?
Yeah, listeners, and nobody wants to hear that. And you've seen, I'll compare it to what Right Angle Sports has been going through, with college basketball. Nobody wants to hear that, I'm betting this, early stuff or off market stuff where I can get a bunch down on because of the connections and that. And then it's doing well, but the picks that, you know, you're trying to widely available give out isn't going well. But that, I mean, that's kind of some of the what you have to, you know, play into it to win there is, you know, take advantage of some of that stuff. So hopefully, again, like, listen, I don't want to beat the CLV drum, but I would think, you know, especially on the show, due for some correction this year. And there were some, last year where, you know, a lot of moves just, especially, you know, earlier in the year weren't as paid off. But again, I don't want to, you know, I think maybe the one, and we discussed it a bit on the show, would be that a team in years past pre-portal expansion might only be able to move their power rating 5, 6, 7 points max. You now have seen a few teams that where like 2 touchdowns, maybe even a little more than that in the offseason, bad and good, where you can get totally rated and be a complete shell of yourself 1 year to the next. So, that would be one where, you know, you need to expand the parameter on a team year to year, which might have been here. Now the variance can go, you know, from being a 3-4 win team to a 9 win team, or a 9 win team to a 3-4 win team, would be the biggest change. You Texas State, yeah, R-Dub, yeah, great change. They completely changed over the roster, and they're going up and down the field every game in a good Sun Belt last year. So yeah, that's the exact thing you're talking about there. Is you go from a bottom feeder to, you know, a mid level or, you know, an upper echelon conference team in 1 year.
Yeah, a couple things there. I'm glad you brought up. Changes that I made is I'm not betting as much college basketball. I'd be like full-time college basketball right now. I've just been working on college football this entire offseason. So I am putting more time into that. Portal teams, I'm just kind of being leery of portal teams. Good, bad, or indifferent on portal teams. I'm staying away of the teams that have completely, you know, bringing in 40, 50 new guys. I at least want to see what they look like in spring before I get too involved with some of those teams. And even then, I think you're guessing on how that's going to gel in an offseason. So I prefer to be with the teams that are a little bit more stable, with coaches that have been there a while and whatnot. Those are some of the tweaks and changes. Again, it's probably still early. It wasn't a good season last year. I'm not going to, you know, overlook the fact that, I mean, I did horribly. I took it to heart, but I just ran. This is going to sound egotistical. And now they'll clip it up and kill me on Twitter. But if it was so freaking bad, push that shit back at me on the CLV. I mean, if I'm such a freaking idiot, you bet against me. You know, they didn't. I mean, the market agreed with everything, right? I know they're going to clip that up and kill me, but it is what it is. I bet fade it. I'll take anybody on. So on that regard, so I think we'll. I can tell you this: we will have on this show. We will have a better season this year. I can almost damn guarantee it. Yep. But we don't. You don't have to pay anything for us, so I can't give you a money back guarantee or anything like that. Another rabbit hole we're going down there. Looking at the chat here. Ah, shoot. I'm looking. Guys, yep, that was on UCF. LSU's personnel on D. It really hurt them. This is Dylan in the chat. Number two defensive linemen that decided to forego their final seasons of eligibility on that interior. That hurt them quite a bit. I would have thought they'd come back, especially when they announced Bo Davis was going to come back. I mean, or he's going to get hired from Texas. You saw what Bo Davis did with Sweat and Murphy this year on the Texas defensive line. So it's not there yet, but I got to tell you, they'll be better than last year's defense. I am confident in that. Dylan in the chat, this is my reference to office, Austin Mack. I think he's got a shot to beat out Milroe. I like reading the tea leaves. The fact that Kalen DeBoer, who I really respect, it was not like he was shedding tears for the saying kid leaving for the Buckeyes. He was very happy that Austin Mack was coming over from Washington with them. I think Mack knows the offense. And Milroe can't – you trust Milroe throwing the football in a passing offense?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if the Kalen DeBoer, Jalen Milroe combo makes again. I tweeted it this offseason. Would I love Jalen Milroe at Michigan with Sharon Moore running that offense? You damn well better believe it. Do I love Jalen Milroe running Kalen DeBoer's offense? Not so much. It's just not the type of quarterback that he's had a bunch of success with. I mean, we literally started the show with Penix having 8 rushing yards. So you can't really design an offense that works with Jalen Milroe without the quarterback run being a major part of it. He's just not that guy. You saw it the first half of the Bama season when it was square peg round hole until they had to tell Tommy Rees, like, bro, what the hell are you doing? Like, we have one quarterback on this roster and his best feature is running. So this is where DeBoer, I mean, he's like, you might have that bridge year where you kind of hedge yourself and do a little bit more of the RPO and then going into it. But I think the best shot to have success is like installing your stuff early with the guys that you want to roll with, which is not Jalen Milroe. So I don't know. We'll see. That'll be very interesting. And who knows? I mean, it might be one where like, if somebody comes a calling with a check after the spring, if he's not guaranteed the job, maybe he makes himself available.
Uh-oh. I'm trying to think. How can we hear a dog?
Yeah, I was going to say, right. Yeah.
Good for my Austin Mack bet. He's the underdog to win the starting job. Another reason why I kind of want to wait till the portal. I can't emphasize this enough. I think this portal is going to be a little bit more active than the last couple of years coming out of spring. I could see a Milroe getting bought by another program. I don't think it's everyone's guaranteed Milroe. I don't see it. So, Carlos in the chat, here you go. This is for you. Are the Red Wings going to do some damage in the NHL playoffs? Have you been betting hockey?
I moved some hockey. I love it, especially because they've got a chance for me to destroy Moretto. If they can get in the playoffs, which looks good, and I know Moretto's going to, I know our friends over at Edgework are going to, put the mortgage all in against them in the first round. Listen, exciting team. Do they have the goalie play to make a run? Probably not, but it's fun team. They haven't been in the postseason, I think, in 6 or 7 years. They're actually entertaining to watch now. And as far as the pucks play tonight, the only thing I'm on, and I think the number got crushed, was Blues at there's some 130 around. St. Louis 130 or better was the only thing I got on the side tonight. So if you want some Joey pucks, Blues tonight, and hope the Red Wings can get in and we can put Moretto to rest once and for all.
Charles says the Panthers are winning the cup.
I agree. And listen, the Wings are not, they're not going to win the Stanley Cup, but we just need them to win a first round series here to never have have to hear from Moretto again.
RW does not. You talk about, I made that egotistical comment about, hey, shove that shit back in my face if you don't like it. He likes Milroe to win the Heisman. Lock it in. That's right. Probably knowing my luck, but I'm pretty good with the Heisman. That's one thing that pretty good with the Heisman. So I'm pretty confident at least taking an off number on Austin Mack. Oklahoma, Ryan in the chat. We'll just get to a few more and then we'll wrap it up here. Oklahoma under 7.5 with heavy juice, or wait to see if it goes back to 6.5. That OL DL combo at the line of scrimmage heading to the SEC is an empty cupboard. Mike Vivian isn't going to like that comment.
I was going to say, we haven't seen Mikey V today.
No, we haven't. I would have bet over 6.5. 7.5, I'm in stand pat mode. If you gave me a $100 bill and said you have to bet 7.5 over under, I would lean under, to be honest with you. But my preference would have been over 6.5. I did not get to that. People bet that before I did. So I thought that was a position to have, but I do have some question marks about Oklahoma. It's certainly going to be a tougher transition than Texas, the team that they beat last year. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I think they'll have a tougher go at it transitioning to the SEC than their conference rival, the Longhorns, at least this year.
I agree with you. I think, he nailed it there in terms of the line of scrimmage, especially their offensive line play. Could be in now. Granted, I think a lot of people, including them inside the program, love that Jackson Arnold. I think they think he's the real deal. So we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, they've got like Tennessee, Texas, and then the finish here at Missouri, Bama, at LSU.
Yeah, that's a little tougher than the TCUs and the Texas Techs of the world. Yeah. No disrespect, but
yeah, I mean, they got at Ole Miss in there too. Yeah, I agree with you. It's too much juice on me on the 7.5 to actually like bet into it, especially this early. But I would bet if I got a 7.5 -120 or something, I'd be partaking in that.
That's one I would probably consider betting if it was August and I still had money on the bankroll. I would bet under there. But again, we are way early in the process to be laying that on something that I don't think that's big of an edge, at least at this point. I don't think it's going back to 6.5. That was hit by enough people immediately. That was just not the great number there. Couple more. Charles in the chat. Chiles, in case you don't know who he is, he's the transfer from Oregon State. He's at Michigan State with Jonathan Smith. Love Chiles as a quarterback. I don't know if I love him this in his first year as a starter in a new conference and a bunch of transition in Michigan State. I don't know if I love the rest of the roster at Michigan State. That's one where I need to watch them a little bit in the spring to see where they're at. That they're on the sheet of integrity, but for the wrong reasons. I love Jonathan Smith. I love Chiles, but under the win total was the bet I made.
Yeah, I agree. It's a transition cost year. With the way that Tucker exited, and the way it explains it more now why his recruiting fell off a little bit at the end, and they weren't able to, and again we'll see with the spring, but they brought over Child, but it's not like he was able to bring over like the entire roster into that one of those deals where I think it'll just be a rocky year one there for that. I mean, and again, they got to go to they've got a Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan part of their schedule. Now that lightens up a bit, but like this is when I say lightens up a bit, like are they better than Illinois or Purdue or Rutgers? I mean, those are coin flip games for them, not like it wins. So
are they at Boston College? Are they that much? That's an interesting game for a couple of first year
coaches. Right. I mean, Florida Atlantic, like are they better than Florida Atlantic under our year two?
They are, but not like slam dunk, they're gonna win this game.
So yeah, it's just when in terms of the win total, I think that, I mean, they have like probably like one game, the Prairie View A&M game where you're like, yep, win. And then four or five absolute losses and then a bunch of coin flips. So that's
why I bet under.
Yeah.
A really good season. I mean, if they beat me on that win total, which was 5.5, they go to get the bowl eligibility. That would be like, we got our guy. Jonathan Smith's going to be the real deal
for sure.
Yeah. So let's have some reasonable expectations there. It's going to be probably a tough first season. This will be the final one. Then we'll wrap it up. DT, plus the points in the chat. Thoughts on Memphis? Yeah, from a power ratings perspective, they're certainly in top two or three of the G5. I don't like the coach, though, that much. But they're going to be right there in the mix. I'd like to see what their playoff odds are, but they're a team that, yeah, they're certainly going to be one of the favorites because obviously, you know, SMU had turnover there. You got turnover at, or not at SMU. Well, you got turnover on the roster. You got Tulane is who I'm thinking of with the coach leaving there at the top of that league. So, yeah, they'll be in the mix in the American. So, I mean, Boise State's going to be the favorite in the Mountain West. Three, four teams in the American I could see winning it, whether it's SMU's in the ACC. Yeah, I'm thinking SMU. Jesus. So that actually, that's a case for Memphis. Their toughest opponent in the Americans got out of there, SMU. So yeah, I like them quite a bit. I just haven't seen a I haven't seen a win total or anything market available on them yet. Have you done? You haven't done anything with them yet. Any thoughts?
No, there's literally, I don't think there's even anything out there to do with them. I agree. It's one of those teams that, you know, talent wise is always up there in the G5. They tend to consistently disappoint over even through like multiple coaching staffs when they've gotten on the big stage. Yeah, in terms of just
they quietly won 10 games last year. They were fortunate to do so.
I know. And you wouldn't be like, yeah, this team's a, you know, a type of 10 win team, but it's a place that is kind of in a nice spot to they end up with a lot of talent on the roster in terms of for a G5 program. One of those places that's a little easier to recruit. Word on the street is you could probably get like a lawn chair admitted into Memphis, not a school with a ton of academic standards, you know, if you ask people. So you can get a lot of guys in there. Also, they've had to get really in the weeds. They've had a lot of guys in there who maybe other Power Five programs couldn't take for one reason or another that Memphis will take if, you know, you've had some troubled guys that can get in there. So they end up with a decent amount of talent. I don't know the ceiling wise. Yeah, I guess I could, you know, it's one of the, I mean, now that we're talking 12 team, you never know.
Yeah. Again, I want to see the playoff market there, make it or not make it. Here's what I don't like, diving in a little bit deeper, against the competition in their conference at USF, at UTSA, at Tulane. I think on a neutral field, they're probably a little bit better than those three teams, but I would say those are the three other best teams in that conference, and they got to go on the road against all three of those. So they're not a slam dunk in that regard. So yeah, I'm not. Hennigan's back for what is like 20th year as a starter, a quarterback, but they'll be in the mix. I don't know if there's a runaway. Is there anybody in the G5 that you think's a runaway? I think Charles or somebody earlier was asking about Liberty. Yeah, if we're just going purely off of expected win, like what would I set their win total at? They would be the highest out of any G5 team in the country.
I agree. It's just like, are they going to, like, is Liberty running everybody over in Conference USA going to get them in the playoff? I mean, that league is,
I think, if they go unbeaten again, they'll have to go unbeaten again. They have no room for error in that regard. Totally agree. If they don't go unbeaten, then they're going to get passed over by a two. They can be 11-1 or 12-1, win the conference, and they'll get passed over by a two loss team in the American, or even like the Mountain West, or hell, even the Sun Belt. But that they have to go undefeated. The good thing for them is, I think, with the exception, looking at my power ratings, the only game that's going to be in question as far as them not being a significant favorite is probably at App State.
Yeah.
That's it. So, Salter's back. Speaking of Liberty, to close it out, they had their spring game. They already wrapped it up. Unbelievable. So, all right. You got anything? Any closing thoughts? 1 hour.
No, I agree. It was good to marinate. We'll get a little bit more, hopefully some more, you know, some more stuff that becomes widely available here soon. Little NFL draft mixed in, but appreciate the true CFB DeGens joining us here in early March, getting it in. So yeah, we'll be doing probably every 2 weeks here until like May, June, when it gets a little bit more hot and heavy.
Absolutely. And once the spring games get over, and then, I mean, hopefully we get more widely available markets, and then I'll just flat out say, bet this, bet this, bet this, bet this, and away we go here. And we'll, you know, get the spreadsheet going. And we'll have a ton of bets as we're breaking down conferences. So that'll do it. Thank you to the chat. Make sure you're hitting that like and subscribe button on your way out to help support the show. For the man, the myth, the legend himself, Joey Knish, producer extraordinaire, Jason, filling in nicely there for Zach. That'll do it. You just watched a version of Hit the Books, part of the Hammer Betting Network.